Hey, hey, welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. So glad to have you with us today. You can learn more on our website, fairmountfriends.church, or find our church app on Tithely. Let's go.
Amen. All right, as we are continuing in our series on Do the New You, we are going to be in two different passages of Scripture here this morning. Ephesians chapter 4 and Judges chapter 7. If you want to grab your Bibles, please go there with me. This is the book that we're working out of. We just got like a little summer read that we're going on. Anybody like some little summer read? Just me? So if there's a little summer read that you like, this one isn't a romance novel or anything like that. This is a biblically based, but just an encouraging word that we're believing will not just only be inspiration, but transformational in your life to bring out some of the newness that God has designed inside of you. And so perhaps as you look back over the course of your life, there's some things that you're not super pumped about or really excited about that are going on inside of you that you want to be renewed. Hopefully I can get an amen on that. Like, man, there's some stuff in me that needs reworked and redone. There's a phrase out there that we'll just say to people like, hey, you do you. You do you, man. I'll do me. I'll live my truth. You live your truth. You do you. Or if somehow, like this usually happens with kids whenever they're getting dressed. And by kids, I mean like anybody the age of about 35 and under. And whenever they get dressed and they head to Walmart, it's like, whew, hey man, you do you. You do you on how you're dressed right there. Or there can be certain phrases where we'll say, you do you, but I just don't know that that is a biblical phrase whenever we really need to let our old you die and allow the new you to come to life. The only problem that I find with me being me is that I am not the me that I want to be, nor am I the me that God has designed me to be. I do not mean to be like Cat in the Hat or Dr. Seuss on this one, although I know that it kind of rolls off the tongue that way. However, there is a new me that God has designed me to be, that's what we are going after. There's parts of me that's just been dinged and damaged and dropped and destroyed along the way that I cannot continue to carry into tomorrow. You've carried that person in long enough. You've carried that dinged and damaged person into that marriage long enough. And you've carried those hurts and those wounds long enough. Consider just letting them go, giving them to God and asking Him to wash over those. God, make me new again. Let me not continue to live in the past pain and the past hurt. I want to work through this, and I want you to set me free. I want to partner my faith with who God has designed me to be more than partnering my belief systems and all of the brokenness of my past. I need to make this pivot, and it may be a pivot of faith where we're trusting God to help us move forward. The me that I want to be is the me that God has set free. He's the one who has set me free, and He's taken me to another level. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, it says this, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." And if you remember from the last time that we talked, that we were talking about Jeremiah was known to be a prophet even while still in the womb. Like, God knows who you are designed to be and who you were created to be, and not just the person that you currently are. He's like, but I designed you in the womb to be a prophet. Happy anniversary, John and Carol. Is today the day?
It is today.
It is. Good. Good remembering. Good remembering. And so even in the womb, as He is weaving and knitting you together, He's designing this prophet to the nations. I know who you are supposed to be. It's inspiring, and it's like an indictment, because I know I am not the man that He had dreamt me up to be. I'm so far less, but I want to be. I want to crescendo to the man that God dreamt me to be when He designed me in the womb. And He knew it all, and He saw it all, and He sees it all where we currently are and where we are not. And He still says, I've still got a plan for you. I've still got these purposes and plans for you. So here's where we're going today, and here's our three points. is number one, we want to put off the old you. Number two, to realize that Jesus is still with you. And number three, you are not stuck unless you stop. Flip with me to Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll be in verse 22. Ephesians chapter 4, and in verse 22. It says this, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and in holiness. It says, put off the old you, put on the new you. Let's play out this scenario. I'm laying in bed. I wake up, kick my legs over the side of the bed, put both feet on the ground, and boom, immediately step on a Lego. I scream, ah! Alyssa loves playing with Legos in bed. I don't know. I'm mad at the kids. They don't listen to me, which then stirs up like this underlining deeper thing, like my voice just isn't heard. I'm not respected. It just stirs up all of that stuff inside of me. Ugh, who knew that that tiny little Lego could cause so much pain, like shoots up my heel, up my sciatica, and my back's locked up. Like the other day, I leaned over to just pet Wrigley, our dog, and it's like somebody stuck an ice pick in my back. I'm like, ah. It's just getting old, I guess, but those Legos aren't helpful, and I'm mad, and I go downstairs, I'm going to make some coffee, and I'm sitting at the breakfast table, and now I've got another choice. Do I scroll through ESPN app mindlessly looking at scores, or do I spend these 20 minutes reading the Bible? Unfortunately, I usually flip through and read ESPN articles. And I grab my coffee, and I'm not overly pumped about who I am and the decision I just made, but I need some breakfast, so I'm going to make some eggs. And I go to the refrigerator, look in there, and there's no eggs, and that's just frustrating. Not only does she play Legos in bed, she won't buy eggs. So then I go over to the cabinet, and I reach for the cereal. It's just quick. It's easy. I just need to grab the box of cereal. The box of cereal is empty. Why do you put an empty box of cereal back into the cabinet? But that's what the kids do. There's this underlining thing that's empty. It's just frustrated. I'm just like, this is how I'm starting my day. And this just becomes frustrating. So upstairs, and as I'm walking upstairs, I'm contemplating, do I do a cold shower like that one guy on that video on YouTube does? And should I do like that? Or should I take a warm shower like every normal human? And so I'm in the hot shower, and as I'm in there, hear the kids, and they're screaming, fighting over the last Chromebook charger that we have to our family's name. And we've all got to like plug our Chromebooks into this one charger, and we're yelling and screaming, to which I think, man, I'm going to yell at them to stop yelling because I'm a good dad, and that always works. And so I just start yelling at them, please, you know, I don't even say please, just stop. Stop yelling. And all of this frustration is just going on inside of me. Okay, let's pull it together. I got to get out of the house, and I'm off to work, and phone rings, and it's the next thing. And here's the issue, and this person isn't happy, and this person's frustrated, and that's the way it is all the way to work. And there's a staff to lead, there's donors and partners to meet with, there's a sermon to write, there is ministry sites to just be on top of, there's a funeral to officiate, and there's premarital counseling to facilitate, and there's three kids that I would love to coach their teams or at least be at their game, and to write on and on. There's a wife to date, and there's this underlining feeling that starts to sink in. I'm not enough. There's no way I'll pull all this off today. I'm going to have to beat the clock and race the sun to just come peeling in on two wheels just to make it to the game. Whew. And to some degree, I feel like I'm alone. And all the demands. And I'm not unique in this, because we probably all feel it to some degree. And so we feel like we're in this thing, and we're on the treadmill of life, we're in the rat race, and we're doing this thing, and we're trying our best, and we're just frustrated with our situation. And it's frustrating, and to some degree, even with people all around us, I can still feel like I'm doing it by myself. I don't want to keep bringing that old attitude, negativity, Brock into my future. The bummer, the frustrated, the underlining insecurities, the underlining bummer that just kind of just sits. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Is it just me? Sometimes just that thing in your stomach, just that the weight of life. And just knowing that what God has designed for me is not this. He's designed it a lot bigger and better and more joyful and more engaging and for a better Brock to step up to the plate. Putting off the old you in Ephesians chapter 4, it just seems so simple. And how many of y'all know everything is easier said than done? It's just easy to say it. It's hard to do. It almost sounds like what he's trying to say here, it almost sounds like, hey, just take the sport coat off and put on like your favorite hoodie. Wouldn't that just be nice? Like, let's just take that thing off, put on the new you, put on your favorite hoodie, and life is just really good. And I'm like, oh man, life is good when I got my favorite hoodie on and I don't have that coat on. But it's a little bit different. Isn't it much harder than that? It doesn't feel so much like a sport coat. It feels like a straitjacket. And I'm trapped in here, and my arms are in, and I cannot get out of this broken thinking, of this frustration, of this situation, and just put off the old me. Do you know how many years I have partnered with this old me, and I've self-protected, and I've gotten all of these dings and damages along the way? Like, man, it's taken me a lot of work to collect all of these wounds. And I just can't quickly unpackage this straitjacket. In February, I went to Fort Wayne and watched the Indiana Semi-State Wrestling Tournament. And we had multiple of our wrestlers from Madison Grant that had an incredible season. Boston sitting right here. And as I walked into this wrestling, I mean, it was like the arena. It was the Fort Wayne, what's it called? Fort Wayne Forum? Coliseum. And I mean, all of these people around, and here they are out here on this mat. I don't know where I'm going, and for some reason, I got like into this other hallway, and whenever I walk out this one door, I'm down on the court where the mats are, and I'm standing there. And these guys are 17 and 18 years old, looking like full-grown men that have been carved out of marble. I'm like, oh my gosh! Like, how old are you? And they're just these massive specimens. One guy grabs another guy, just flips him, sticks him on his head, and then lays on his chest. And he's like 235 pounds of muscle just laying on his chest. And his mom is, I'm assuming his mom, nobody's as passionate, no 45-year-old's as passionate of a woman, at least of her, you sure hope it's his mom, is screaming, "Get up! Get up! Get up!" And I'm like, oh, man, I bet that's helpful. I bet he was thinking, oh, I never thought of that. Mom, I'm so glad you came. Man, gosh, I'm so glad that you're sitting way up there screaming so that everybody here can tell me that I just should stand up. How easy would that be? Thank you. And I'm kind of watching it. And what's wild is there's three people that are really passionate about that one match. It's the wrestler, the coach, and then the mom. And the mom probably had more energy and passion than all three of them combined. Just sometimes we just say, hey, just put off the old self, put on the new self. I mean, this is simple stuff. I mean, right? Just stand up. And the response could be like, man, you try it. You try walking this thing out because it's just tough. And to work with maybe the dad that I was raised with, or to have the demands that my boss has, or I'm trying to, and I'm single momming it, or I'm trying to raise multiple kids, or I'm trying to work two and three jobs at the same time. You sure have a lot of opinions of my life on the outside looking in. How about you jump underneath here, Mom, with this 235-pound person just sitting on my chest? And I'm trying. Sometimes it can feel overwhelming, especially if we feel like we're in it alone. And so I want to encourage us, let's begin to develop this perspective that if everyone else is not here, is Jesus enough? Is Jesus enough? If he is on the mat with me, is that enough? If Jesus is in it with me, does he sustain me? Does he help me get through this thing in my life? I want to check out this story real quick here in the Bible. And it's where this army leader by the name of Gideon is called by God into the fight of his life. And God removes tens of thousands of his army away from him and then calls Gideon to go into battle. Let's catch up with this story in Judges chapter 7 and flip there with me if you will, if you can. Judges chapter 7, it's going to be in the first 10% of your Bible, first 12% of your Bible. But here it is in Judges chapter 7, verse 1. It says, early in the morning, Jerubbaal, which is Gideon, and all of his men camped at the spring of Harod. The camp of Midian was north of them in the valley near the hill of Moreh. The Lord said to Gideon, you have too many men for me to deliver Midian into their hands. In order that Israel may not boast against me that her own strength has saved her, announce now to the people, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead. So 22,000 men left, while 10,000 remained. Here's the deal. He's got 32,000 men that are coming out here for battle. God says, if you guys go into battle, you'll take all the glory. I'm not up for sharing my glory. So you need to eliminate some of the army. If you're scared, go home. They all said, thank you very much. And they all took off. And they left. So he's left with 10,000 soldiers left. And God's like, it's probably enough for you to still boast in it. I'm not happy with these numbers. We catch up here in verse 4. But the Lord said to Gideon, there are too many men. Take them down to the water, and I will sift them for you there. If I say, this one shall go with you, he shall go. And if I say, this one shall not go with you, then he shall not. So Gideon took the men down to the water. And there the Lord told him, separate those who lap the water with their tongues like a dog from those who kneel down to drink. Y'all see what he's doing there? It's just a military strategic thing. You put your face down into the water and you're drinking, you're going to get shot. You kneel down and you got your head up and you draw the water up to yourself. He's like, okay, that guy can stay. All right, so if you're scared and you don't have a clue of what you're doing, get to stepping. If you know how to at least drink and keep watch, we can keep you. Verse 5. So Gideon took the men down to the water. Okay, verse 6. 300 men lapped with their hand to their mouth. All the rest went down to their knees to drink. The Lord said to Gideon, with the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into their hands. Let all the other men go, each to his own place. So Gideon sent the rest of the Israelites to their tents, but he kept the 300 who took over the provisions and trumpets of the others. Now the camp of Midian lay low before him. Lay below him in the valley. During that night, the Lord said to Gideon, get up. Kind of like that mom. Get up! Probably with a much deeper voice, full of testosterone. Get up. Go down against the camp because I am going to give it into your hands. If you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Parah. And I just want to stop here just for a moment. Well, I'll go into verse 11 as well. Go into the camp with your servant Parah and listen to what they are saying. Afterward, you will be encouraged to attack the camp. So he and Parah, his servant, went down to the outposts of the camp. The Lord's dealing with Gideon. He takes basically his whole army out, 32,000 men, leaves him with 300. And he says, now we're going to go fight this incredibly tough battle. Life is just tough. And I'm going to make it a little bit harder. Anybody feel like that? Like, man, it's like, why is it stacked against me? Or when it rains, it pours. Or, man, if it's not one thing, it's another. And here it's one thing and it's the other. And God removes the help, and Gideon hears the call. What I love about this is God says, Gideon, if you're scared too, I want to help you. Let's walk into the camp and take one of your servants with you. And as you listen to the conversation going around in the camp, you actually will be encouraged. It's like this. It's like a good, gracious father move where I want my kids maybe to go down this massive water slide. And they're like, not pumped about it, Dad. Like, do you see how tall that thing is? And do you see? And I'm like, well, let's go up here and let's look. Let's walk around to the side. Let's see. Can I see where the bottom of it is? Can it go down? Can I show you a little bit about what's going on in this next adventure? And so the Lord allows him to walk, apparently unseen, or nobody knows that it's Gideon, right through their camp, and he's listening to their conversations while this is going on. Also, what's fascinating is there's these prophetic dreams that start coming out about this barley, wheat, loaf, bread thing that lands in the middle of the camp, and it wipes out the people. And Gideon starts getting encouraged because they're like, I think that dream is about this king, and he's going to come in, he's going to wipe us out. The thing about this wheat, barley, loaf thing, which we're just getting ready to read here in a minute, is that this wheat, barley was like the meal cakes that you give to dogs and horses. It's just like the trash that's left over. They said, this trashy man that has very little worth, I had a dream that he's going to come in, he's going to wipe out our camp. And Gideon's in the camp. And he goes, oh, I like this prophetic dream. I'm encouraged by this. I can see this next slide and where it actually ends. And God is helping me, and God is encouraging my heart to continue to go after this thing. He starts getting a little bit of some energy, and Gideon puts away the old fearful self, and he takes on some courage because Jesus is in it with him. To put off the old self and to start putting on some new courage and saying, Jesus is in this with me. I'll tell you, even this morning, Anthony, when you were praying, our prayer this morning, there's times when it is flowing and it's fast-paced and there's high energy, and then there's another one where today just had a different spirit and is a little bit more calm, and Anthony, right at the end, he prays, Jesus, your joy. You are joy. We're asking for the joy to be our strength. With the joy of the Lord hit us this morning, and boom, all of a sudden, my spirit had a new level of encouragement. I was like, oh man, Jesus is joy. And it changed my perspective. And an old perspective went, and a new perspective came, and all of a sudden, I was like, Jesus is joy. Jesus is happy. Jesus is pretty pumped to be here today. Like, he's excited that his people are all gathering together. They're going to worship and sing. And all of a sudden, my whole mind got washed over this new idea. Jesus is joy. Jesus is happy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. He who has a happy heart has a continual feast. Come into the presence of the Lord with his fullness of joy at his right hand, his pleasure forever. Like, let's go. Let's get this Jesus guy going. That whenever Jesus comes, you have life and life to the full. You're fully alive in him. This whole new thing started washing over me by one person's prayer. Like, hey, Jesus is here and he's going to bring some joy this morning. I'm like, yeah! He's in it. And he's with us. And it started washing me over again. Here's some little disciplines that might be helpful for you. Instead of listening to the talking heads on the radio, perhaps listen to the scriptures and allow them to be read over your mind. Maybe listen to some podcasts that are teaching the word of God that would encourage you and lift your faith. Listen to worship music. And all of a sudden, it begins to shift your perspective from your dead dog and your broken down truck and having a beer on the weekend. So now all of a sudden, Jesus is joy and he's for me and we're coming into the presence and I get to be with him today. Perhaps start utilizing your time better to coach your own mind to get to the new you. Put off the old. Get rid of the old. And let's step into this new, and you'll be encouraged. And so you realize that you're just not alone, that he's in it with you. It strengthens your heart. You get a renewed perspective. Check out verse 12. The Midianites, the Amalekites, and all the other eastern people had settled into this valley. They were as thick as locusts. Jeez. Their camels could no more be counted than the sand on the seashore. Whew, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of camels. That's a lot of spit. Gideon arrived just as a man was telling a friend his dream. He said, bro, I had a dream last night. It was a round loaf of barley bread, and it came tumbling into the Midianite camp, and it struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed. His friend responded, this can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash the Israelite. God had given the Midianites and their whole camp into his hands. I believe it's no accident that God had paced Gideon's steps to be at the right exact pace when this buddy walked out of his tent and this guy walked out of his tent and they said, hey, you know what? I would like to tell you about my dream. And the way that they start talking about their dream at the exact same time that Gideon happens to be passing right by them. What are the chances? What's the random chance? There's so many people, you can't even count them like the sand on the shores, that he happened to be walking by those two guys at just that time. God's so silly. And he planned his life and he planned his steps and he coached his way to hear a very encouraging report that filled him with faith at just the right time. I don't know about you, but I believe that the steps of a righteous man are planned by the Lord and they are established by God. And he marched out his steps at just the right time. Can you partner your faith with me that God may be marching out some good steps, leading a new you into a new day that would encourage you? Charles Spurgeon wrote this about this passage of scripture. He said this, I think if I had been Gideon, I should have said to myself, I do not so much rejoice in what this dreamer saith as I do in the fact that he has told his dream at the moment when I was lurking near him. I see the hand of the Lord in this, and I am strengthened by the sight. Verily, I perceived that the Lord worketh all things with unfailing wisdom and faileth not in his designs. He that has ordered this matter can order all things else. We keep going here in verse 15. When Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he bowed down and he worshiped. He returned to the camp of Israel and he called out. Guess what he called out? Get up! Let's go! Stand up! Let's fight! The Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands. Divide the 300 men into three companies. He placed trumpets and empty jars in their hands of all of them with torches inside of the jars. Watch me, he told them. Follow my lead. Now all of a sudden, he's got some confidence, doesn't he? This is a man that's standing in front of the troops, and he's like, watch me, follow me. Here we go. When I get to the edge of the camp, do what I do. When I and all of you who are with me blow our trumpets, then from all around the camp, blow yours and shout for the Lord and for Gideon. Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just after they changed the guard. They blew their trumpets and broke the jars that were in their hands. The three companies blew the trumpets, smashed the jars, grasping the torches in their left hand and holding in their right hands the trumpets that they were to blow. They shouted, a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. While each man held his position around the camp, all the Midianites ran, crying out as they fled. Remember, these guys are in the valley. They're looking up and they're seeing hundreds of men with torches and the loud breaking of pots. these jars that are being shattered all around them are echoing through the valley. And they're crying, it says, and they're running. When the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their swords. The army fled to Beth Shittah toward Zerah, as far as the border of Abel Meholah, near Tabath. Israelites from Naphtali, Asher, and Manasseh were called out, and they pursued the Midianites. Gideon sent messengers throughout the hill country of Ephraim, saying, "Come down against the Midianites and seize the waters of the Jordan ahead of them as far as Beth Barah." So all of the men of Ephraim were called out, and they seized the waters of the Jordan as far as Beth Barah. And they also captured the Midianite leaders, Oreb. When I first read that, my Bible page was folded, and it looked like Oreo, and I was really excited. Oreb and Zeb, they killed Oreb at the rock of Oreb and Zeb at the winepress of Zeb, and they pursued the Midianites and then brought the heads of the leaders to the Jordan. Here's the reality, is that God is in the fight with you. He's in it with you. He's in it with you. Let's put off our old broken way of thinking, the frustration that we wake up every morning and it's not about the Lego, it's about the Lord, and he's in it with me. Man, he's gonna help me. And it's not about the frustration with the kids or the daily grind or the demands of the boss or maybe an aging body or a frustration in marriage. Come on, he's in all of this with us. And I only can get stuck if I choose to stop. I got to keep moving forward and partnering my faith with where the Lord is bringing me. I want to pray for us, church family. I want to pray, maybe there's a situation like, man, if I can bust through this, man, it's a new game. You might have two or three, four things. God, if we can just bust through this and we want to partner our faith that God, you are in it with me. Would you encourage my heart today? Would you give me a report that would encourage my heart and to go into this battle as a brand new man or woman? Church family, would you stand with me this morning as we close in prayer? Jesus, I thank you that there is a man or a woman that you knew when you wove us in the womb, when you formed and fashioned us, you knew who we would be. And God, I just pray that you would help break us through. Help us do the new you. Help us go to the new place. I pray, God, that you would fill our hearts with courage, that we would partner our faith, that you're in it with us, Lord. We thank you that you never leave us. You never forsake us. Strengthen the faith of your bride today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Grateful you were with us today. Be sure to subscribe and rate us so other people can know about the podcast. Join us on a Sunday morning in Fairmount or find our live stream on YouTube, our website, fairmountfriends.church, or our church app on Tithely. See you soon.